Thank you, Bell Choir. You know, I read something the other day that said that the majority of churches today don't have choirs. They don't have handbell ringers, choirs. And I thought, you know, that is so sad, especially this time of year. I don't know about you, but I enjoy hearing the choir as they sing the Christmas music of the season, as these this bell choir, these ringers, perform for us each Christmas season. and I wonder how you can worship at Christmas, especially without the sounds of a choir and of a bell choir. Amen? So, Dave, Terry, thank you for the time that you guys put in and leading our choir and our bell choir and presenting this beautiful music to us each Christmas. If you've got your Bible, I want you to open it to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be looking here for just a moment at the experience of the shepherds, and then I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, let me prepare you. This is in Gathering Sunday when we begin really officially collecting for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So if you've got your checkbooks this morning, let me get you also to be prepared. We're going to take up the offering at the end of this service. It will be our invitation. It will be your offering to the Lord. If you don't have that, if you're not able to give this morning, we will be collecting through the remainder of this month and the first couple of weeks in January. But we hope that we hit our goal of $55,000 as soon as possible so we can get that money into the International Mission Board and they can depend upon that money to support our mission work around the world. A question was recently asked in a survey of 1,000 church attenders. Why does the church exist? 89% of the respondents said the church's purpose is to take care of my family's and my own spiritual needs. Before I say anything else, I just want to hasten to say that it's very important, and we should take care of people's needs, the needs of families and individuals. But here is what breaks my heart, and I hope it breaks your heart. Only 11% of the respondents said the purpose of the church was to win the world to Jesus Christ. Only 11% of church attenders believe that the purpose of the church is to win the world to Jesus Christ. Friend, I submit to you this morning that Jesus Christ did not come to this earth for the sins, to die for the sins of the world, just so you and I could form spiritual social clubs that gather once a week just so we could sit around and praise one another. Jesus came to this earth. He left the glories of heaven with the purpose of coming to die for the sins of the world so that those of us who come to know Him might then share what we have come to know and the person we have come to know with the people around us who are lost, dying, and headed for an imminent hell. In the familiar Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, we read where the shepherds were the first missionaries to share the good news of Christ. After seeing the Christ child, the scripture tells us that the shepherds went from Bethlehem, from the place where Jesus lay, and told anybody who would listen to them what they had seen and personally experienced. I want us to look, beginning in verse 15 here in Luke chapter 2. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the angels had come, they had presented this message to the angel, to the shepherds about Jesus being born in Bethlehem and that they could find the baby there, and given them directions on where to find the baby. And after the shepherds heard this, it says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now, why did they do that? Why did the shepherds, when they left Bethlehem, when after seeing the Christ child, why did they begin to tell anybody and everybody who would listen what they had seen and experienced? Well, I believe it's because what they had experienced was so meaningful. It was so wonderful. It had such an impact on them personally that they wanted the whole world to know what they had seen and observed. They wanted everyone to know that God in His love had provided a Savior who had left heaven, come to this earth, and would die for the sins of the world, who would pay the ransom for our release from sin's hold on us. And the shepherds were so overjoyed that they went out and immediately began to tell others what they had seen. You know, in John 3:16, that familiar verse of Scripture that most of us know, probably the best well-known Bible verse in all of the world. And for those of you who may not be familiar with that verse, I never like to assume that everybody sitting in a gathering like this knows everything that the Bible speaks about. So if you're not familiar with John 3:16, here's what it says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, pay particular attention to three key words in that verse. God, loved, and world. Those three words. If you want to know why God is a mission-minded God, why we ought to be a mission-minded church, and why we ought to be mission-minded individual believers, it is summed up in those three words: God, loved, and world. If we love God, then we will love what God loves. Amen? And the Bible says that God loved the world. In fact, God loves everyone, even those who don't love Him. Think about that. The reason we are so heavily into missions here at Cornerstone, the reason that we have set such a high goal for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering of $55,000, the reason Southern Baptists have set a goal of $175 million as our national goal is simple. If God loved this world enough to give His Son, we ought to love this world enough to give ourselves, our time, our talents, and our treasure, to see that this world comes to know Christ in the same way that we have. Friend, the ultimate goal of a church is to make disciples, and the ultimate result of a disciple is to become a follower of Christ who agrees to be a missionary. The reason why evangelism and missions must be in our hearts is because it was in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. His last words. Look there. Turn over to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The last words of the Lord Jesus before he ascended back into heaven were these. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, here we see that when Jesus left this earth, he had missions on his mind. Now think about it this way. Jesus came as a missionary from heaven so that he might make us missionaries for heaven. And what I want you to take away from the message this morning is that missions is the heartbeat of Christ's church. Missions is the heartbeat of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. From Jesus' words to his followers right before his ascension back into heaven, here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I want us to see how we as a church, how we as individual believers can have a heart for missions, how every believer can become a missionary for God. To do so, there are three things, three requirements we need to understand. The first is this. We need to use Christ's power for missions. Christ's power for missions. Now look at verse 8, the first part of the verse. The first requirement for doing mission work is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus begins his mission mandate with this tremendous promise. Look what it says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I want to give you some good news this morning. And hopefully it'll take a tremendous amount of pressure off of you and a great load off of your shoulders. You do not have to be a perfect Christian. You do not have to be seminary trained. You do not have to memorize every verse in the Bible. You do not have to be at the top of your Sunday school class in order to be a missionary. All you have to be is a person who is willing to share, to testify to what God has done in your life, to share your personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, the biblical truth about the fact that Jesus left heaven, came to this earth, lived a perfect life, went to the cross, died in your place, took your sins, took my sins, and exchanged our sins for his righteousness. And because of our faith and trust in him, we know God loves us, God has forgiven us, God accepts us, and that we are going to heaven one day. And all you have to do is have the willingness to do that, and God will provide the power you need in order to witness for him. Friend, quite frankly, if everything else, those things I've just mentioned were requirements, seminary training, Bible knowledge, and all of those other things, very few people would ever be able to do any mission work. Remember who Jesus was addressing when he gave this mandate. A bunch of tax collectors, a bunch of fishermen, a bunch of shepherds, a bunch of farmers, a bunch of homemakers, a bunch of businessmen, plain old normal men and women, young people, older people. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In other words, Jesus was talking to people just like you and me. People just like you and me. Friend, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, regardless of who you are, regardless of your position in life, you have at your disposal the greatest power on planet Earth. You have the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit has come, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to do the work that Jesus left us here to do. We don't do it in our own strength. We don't do it depending upon our own talents, our own gifts, our own knowledge, our own resources. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Through normal, ordinary people like you and me, God does his work of reaching this lost world, men and women empowered by his Spirit. That's the first thing I want you to see, Christ's power for missions. The second requirement, though, is his purpose. We must know his purpose for missions. Now, I will grant you that many good things are done in the name of missions. We can repair buildings, we can conduct English classes, we can conduct athletic camps, we can hold block parties, we can cook hot dogs and hamburgers, and all these are good things for us to do. However, if we are not telling people about Jesus Christ and the impact that his life has had on our own life, I wonder if we are truly doing missions. You see, missions is primarily about being witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus explains why we are to receive his power. Look again at the verse. He says, so that you will be my witnesses. Now, there is no plan B for the Lord to reach our world and to show God's love to lost mankind. The Lord Jesus Christ is depending upon his church. Either we will be Christ witnesses or there will be no witness. It's that simple. Think about this. Christ alone can save the world, but Christ alone cannot reach the world. Jesus is depending upon you and me to do the work of reaching this world for him. Friend, I want to make three statements, and you determine whether or not you believe these statements. First, Jesus Christ was who he said he was. Amen? Who did Jesus say he was? Well, he said he was the Son of God. He said he was God in the flesh. He said he was God's Messiah. He said he was the Savior, God's Savior of the world. Jesus Christ was who he said he was. Amen? The second statement, Jesus Christ did what he said he would do. What did Jesus say that he would do? He would die for the sins of the world. He would be raised after 3 days from the dead. He was going back to the Father, and he was coming back one day to judge this world and set up his kingdom. Jesus Christ did what he said he would do. The third statement, not only did Jesus say who he was, not only did he do what he claimed that he would do, that he said he would do, but here's the third statement that we either believe or don't believe. Heaven and hell are real. Heaven and hell are real. The Bible claims that heaven and hell are man's only two choices when it comes to their eternal destiny. One can only go to heaven, according to the Bible, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And the Bible says that hell, eternal separation from God, is the destiny for all who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I would say there is only one way that anyone could not get excited or concerned about missions, and that is that you either don't believe either one of those three statements or you don't think that much of them. If Jesus is who he said he was, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, if Jesus truly did what he claimed he would do, die for the sins of the world, was risen 3 days later, ascended back to the heaven, and is coming back to this world one day to judge it. And if heaven and hell are real, then that means that those of us on planet Earth, we either know him, we either believe in him, we either believe that when we die and leave this world, we're either headed for heaven or we're headed for hell. And if we truly believe that, then why would we not be concerned enough to be mission-minded and to tell the lost around us, not just the people over in Spain, not just the people in Honduras, not just the people in Africa or Ukraine or India or Brazil or Ecuador and all the other places that we have been as a church, but the people right across the street from where you and I live. The word witness implies that we personally agree with the truth of those statements that I've just given you. And we can testify to their trustworthiness. You see, a witness is very simply a person with a testimony. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. As we've already noted, the shepherds went to Bethlehem on that first Christmas night, and after seeing the baby Jesus, they came to know him. They understood this was truly God's Messiah that the angels had announced to them. Luke records in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, they were glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. The experience was so meaningful that they began testifying to what they had experienced. They became witnesses of what they had seen and heard. Friend, if you and I have really met the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't think that we can help but say something about it. Have you ever seen someone who just came to know Christ? Has it been that long since you and I remember how we were when we first came to know Christ? How overjoyed we were? How we just wanted to tell everyone what had happened, what we had experienced? I mean, if you have really met the Lord Jesus, if you really know him as your own personal Savior and Lord, I don't think that you can keep that to yourself. I don't think that you can hold that in. I don't think that you would never want to share that with anyone. I read about a United States senator a number of years ago whose father was an old-time godly Christian man. And on one occasion, the senator had asked his father to come visit him up in Washington. And on that particular weekend, the senator was going to be hosting a dinner party in his home for the ambassador from Belgium. Well, he knew his dad was the type of person who would just go up to anybody and everybody and talk to him about the Lord. And he was somewhat embarrassed because he knew that his father, being at this dinner party, wouldn't hold back. He would talk to anybody, and he was afraid that he might talk to the ambassador himself. And sure enough, the night of the party, that old Christian man who just thought you're supposed to tell everybody about Jesus went up to the ambassador from Belgium. And he began to talk to him about the Lord. And the senator saw his father talking to the ambassador. And sure enough, he was embarrassed and didn't know what to say. Not long after that experience, the senator's father died. And at his funeral, He received some beautiful flowers from the ambassador of Belgium, from Belgium. And on a card with the flowers were these words from this, the ambassador, in memory to the father who had died, in memory of the only man in America who ever spoke to me about my soul. And there are people all around us who are just waiting for someone to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the purpose of missions? What is the purpose of being empowered by the Holy Spirit? All these things that we do for missions, we go and we hold block parties, we go and we entertain, we go and we help people paint buildings and build things and all that. Those are good things. We should do those things. But if that's all we do, and we never tell people about the Lord and what He's done in our lives, we have missed the whole purpose of missions. Jesus said, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. You will be the ones who will reach this world for me, Jesus is saying, with the power of the Holy Spirit that I give to you. Well, there's a third requirement found in this verse. Not only do we see the power for missions and the purpose for missions, but in the last place, we see His plan for missions. Now, look at the last part of the verse. He said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In other words, it is Christ's plan for us to be witnesses to everybody everywhere. So how do we do that? There are three things you and I can do to get involved in missions. First, we can pray for our IMV personnel, for our missionaries on the field. Not only pray for the approximately 4,000 missionaries who already serve, but also pray for God to send more missionaries on the field. Now, you have been hearing from recent reports. We have talked about it here, and you've probably read it in Baptist Press and other places about how Southern Baptists have had to call back 600 to 900 of our missionary personnel. That includes staff in Richmond. That includes missionaries on the field. But you and I can pray for our churches to step up this Christmas season and give generously to Lottie Moon so that we can send some of those missionaries possibly back on the field and to make sure that those who are on the field have enough resources to do their work and not be called back themselves. The only way that our missionaries are going to be able to do their work is through the support of God's people. So that's the first thing, is we can pray. Second is right along with it, and that's we can give generously. We can give generously. Praying for our missionaries is very important. Praying for our churches to give is important. But don't just pray that others will give. Give a generous gift yourself. Why do we need to give generously? Because our missionary endeavor is an expensive one. If there's one thing I learned as a trustee with the International Mission Board for 9 years, it's the cost is astronomical in keeping missionaries on the field. But here's the advantage that our missionaries have over other missionaries through other sending agencies around the world. Our missionaries go with the total support of Southern Baptists like you and me, churches like Cornerstone and all our other Southern Baptist churches. They don't have to worry about having to come home at different times throughout the year and raise support. Their support is given through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, through the cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention, so that they can concentrate on the work that God has called them there to do and not be stressed out about having to come back or having to continually be thinking about raising money throughout the year. Now, our national goal for Lottie Moon this year is $175 million. Our goal for Cornerstone is $55,000. These gifts will be used to keep our present missionaries on the field as well as enable us to appoint more missionaries in this next year. I read a poll that reports the average American family will spend close to $820 this Christmas season for decorations, food, and gifts. Now, some of you are saying, well, I've gone way above that. Or others of you will say, well, no, I haven't quite spent that much. Regardless, $820 is the average amount of money spent on food, on decorations, and gifts by the average American family. I read that and I thought, what would happen if 100 families in our church gave that amount to Lottie Moon Christmas offering? Friend, that would be $82,000 that we would give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Now, you've heard me say this through the years. I strongly encourage you to consider making your gift to Lottie Moon your most generous Christmas gift this year. Why? Because it's his birthday that we celebrate. And what better gift to the Lord Jesus Christ than to know that his people are stepping up and supporting with their finances, supporting his work around the world to see men and women, boys and girls, hear the good news of God's love, of his sacrifice on the cross for their sins, and seeing them come to faith in him as Savior and Lord. I can't think of anything that would please Jesus Christ more than for us to give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering so that his message can be spread around this world. Friend, those in the retail business know that how your Christmas season goes so your whole bottom line for the year. The same is true for our Southern Baptist missionaries. Depending upon what we give to Lottie Moon will determine the work of missions for the rest of this year. So I would encourage you to give and to give generously to the Lottie Moon offering. I read this past Friday that Pope Francis had signed off on making Mother Teresa a saint. And, you know, she was a remarkable woman. It would give sainthood to the nun who cared for the poorest of the poor in one of the poorest areas of India, and that would be bestowed upon her the highest honor in the Catholic Church. Just 2 decades after her death. It's unheard of for such an honor. Well, Southern Baptists don't bestow saint status on individuals. But if we did, there would be one other small in stature woman who would be considered to be in that category. Her name is Lottie Moon. She only stood 4 feet 11 inches tall. For 39 years, Lottie Moon gave her life to the women of China. In 1888, Ms. Moon wrote a letter to some friends back in the States and asked if they would take up a Christmas offering for missions. She said this, we need about $2,000. Think about that, $2,000. Southern Baptist gave over $3,000 that first year. Through the years, every Christmas, we have given more and more to our missionaries through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. It's to the point that today, our goal, as I've said, is $175 million. Lottie Moon wrote in 1888 these words. She says, "Is not the Christmas season the most appropriate time to send forth good tidings of great joy into all the earth? Because it is when families and friends exchange gifts in honor of the one gift that was laid on the altar of the world for the redemption of the human race." Friend, we can get involved in missions by praying for our international personnel. We can give generously. And then thirdly, we can serve somewhere. I would encourage you in this year, go somewhere and be a missionary yourself, a volunteer missionary. Or maybe God's calling you to be a career missionary. But go and serve somewhere as a missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had a heart for the world. Should we not have a heart for the world as well? On July the 4th, 1854, a man named Charlie Peace was a well-known criminal in London, England. And on that day, he was hung by the rafters. When Charlie Peace was being marched to the gallows, a priest began to read to him as he was walking to his death, to the gallows where he would be hung. He was reading words from the prayer book. Here's what he was saying. "Those who die without Christ experience hell, which is the pain of forever dying without release, which death itself can bring." When those chilling words were read, Charlie Peace stopped in his tracks, and he turned to the priest reading from the book of prayer and shouted in his face, "Do you believe that? Do you really believe that?" Well, the priest was taken back. And after he composed himself, he said to Charlie Peace, "Well, I guess I do." And Charlie Peace said to that priest, "Well, I don't." And here's what he said to explain why. He said, "But if I did, I'd get down on my hands and knees and I'd crawl all over Great Britain, even if it were paved with pieces of broken glass, if I could rescue just one person from what you just told me." For knowing what awaits those who die without Christ, the question remains for us. Why? Why would we not be anything but missionaries for the Lord Jesus Christ? A missionary to your family. A missionary to that neighbor. A missionary to that coworker. A missionary somebody you meet on the street. A missionary on a volunteer mission trip. Or maybe a career missionary. I will say to you this morning that missions is the essence of the Christian faith. It's the heartbeat of the Christian church. That's why Jesus left us here, to be missionaries for Him, to tell the world about God. God's love and what He came to do for them. That's why, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you during this invitation to come, place your offering in one of these two baskets on either side of this stage, this platform. And as you give, to say, Lord, thank You that You gave everything for me. You gave Your life for me by dying on the cross. Lord, I want to give something to You to show my gratitude for what You did for me so that others can hear the good news of God's love and Your sacrifice on the cross. And as you place that envelope or check, whatever you put in there, you might want to just simply say, Happy birthday, Jesus. Happy birthday. Let's pray. Father,